Welcome to Just a Minute. Yes. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure not only to welcome our listeners throughout the world, but also to introduce the four exciting and talented performers who this week are going to play Just a Minute. We welcome back three of our regular players of the game, a young, talented comedian who's now one of the stars of the comedy firmament over here, that is Paul Merton, and two of the older generation of comedy performers, that witty, delightful Peter Jones and the erudite, amusing Clement Freud. But also we welcome onto the programme for the second time, actually. She's only played it once before, many years ago, but we're thrilled to have that most distinguished and talented actress, Maureen Lipman. But would you please welcome all four of them? And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Sarah Wade, who's going to help me with the stopwatch and keep the score going, and also blow whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the BBC Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, quite near the centre of the metropolis of London. It's a terribly exciting moment as we have a truly London audience in front of us. And we're going to ask a true London man to begin the show, Paul Merton. Paul, the subject, oh, very apt for starters, where just a minute can be enjoyed. Will you talk on that subject, 60 seconds, starting now?
Well, it can be enjoyed just about any way, I suppose, such as the portability of the radio, and it's wonderful that this show goes out over the sound waves and can be literally picked up throughout the world. I personally enjoy listening to Just a Minute when I'm in the bath. I run the water about 5 minutes before the programme comes on and then settle down and listen to the lovely mellifluous is the word.
Clement Freud, you challenged. Yes, which we interpret as hesitation because he didn't quite get the word out in the way we normally hear it pronounced. So Clement, with a correct challenge, gains a point for that, and he takes over the subject, and there are 38 seconds left. The subject where just a minute can enjoy, Clement, starting now.
Acton, Barking, Clapham, Dagenham are the sort of places where I would genuinely recommend that people listen to Just a Minute, especially if they have a Nicholas Parsons Eliminator, which makes the programme so much more enjoyable. Whopping. Isle of Dogs.
Maureen Lipman, you've challenged.
I think there was a whopping pause on whopping.
Yes, I think there was a small hesitation, Maureen, and as it's there, haven't played it for so long, and lovely to hear from you. You will get the benefit of the doubt on that and say that there are 16 seconds available for you to tell us something about where Just a Minute can be enjoyed, and you start now.
I, too, love listening to Just a Minute while soaking in a tub of hot water with a little lavender oil placed in there. I like to lie back and listen to the mellifluous.
Peter Jones, you challenge.
A bit of hesitation there.
There was, yes, there was hesitation. Peter, you have cleverly got in with only 3 seconds to go on this subject of where Just a Minute can be enjoyed. Go for 3 seconds, starting now.
Lying in a hammock in the south of France with a glass of wine in one hand and more...
Whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Peter Jones. So at the end of that round, everybody has scored points except the man who started with the subject. But that's the way it goes in just a minute. Peter, will you take the next round? Glass ceiling. What a strange subject. Will you talk about it, if you can, starting now?
It's usually a kind of conspiracy to stop people from rising within the firm they work for. And it's glass because they don't want to admit that it actually exists, the people at the top.
Maureen challenged.
People twice?
Yes, there were. Maureen, well listened. You have a correct challenge. Another point to you. And the subject of glass ceiling and 47 seconds available, starting now.
Yes, they said there was a glass ceiling in the days of Margaret Thatcher because she didn't want any other women to come along and take her place away from her. And that means pulling the ladder up after you. We all thought that women were going to have a wonderful time in Parliament after Margaret Thatcher, but no, it was men.
And Paul Merton challenged.
Repetition of Margaret Thatcher.
Yes.
Oh, fate worse than death.
Yes.
And she's coming on the show next week, by the way. Paul, you have 27 seconds to tell us something about glass ceiling, starting now.
In an Alfred Hitchcock film made in 1926 called The Lodger, he uses a glass ceiling to get over a particular effect. There are a number of people in a lodging house who believe that the guest that has recently moved in is Jack the Ripper. And at one point, they hear his footsteps on the ceiling and they look up. And what the director does, he merges from an ordinary ceiling to a glass ceiling, so...
And, Clement Freud, challenge.
I forget.
I could prompt you, but I won't. But if you can't remember, then Paul gets a point.
Well, the merging...
What's that?
No, let him have it.
That's false magnanimism.
Loss of short-term memory is a killer in this game.
He actually repeated the word scene, but you didn't say that, so...
Well, isn't
Paul...
glass ceiling on the card?
No, scene, you repeat.
Oh, did I?
Yes, but doesn't matter, because Clement didn't say it. So you get a point for being interrupted. You have 2 seconds to go on glass ceiling, starting now.
It starred Ivan Novello, the curious man who wrote...
Paul Martin was then speaking as the whistle went, gone that extra point for doing so. If I digress for a moment, the nice little joke, absolutely true story. I did a quiz show once for quite a number of years. I mentioned that because a lot of people around the world don't perhaps know it. And I asked a question once. I said, what should you not do if you live in a glass house? And the woman pressed her buzzer and said, take a bath. And then it wasn't as funny. I thought it was much funnier. Hammond, will you take the next subject? Hoary jokes. Tell us one, talk about the subject, just a minute, starting now.
This woman of easy virtue went into a chemist's shop and said, do you sell talcum powder? And the man behind the counter said, certainly, madam, would you walk this way? To which...
A Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition of counter.
I don't think he repeated the word counter.
You don't think.
Actually, the reason I wasn't thinking as hard as usual then was because I couldn't believe he was going to tell the hoariest joke in the whole of the sort of music hall idiom. Did you repeat the word counter, Clement?
Nope.
No, right. I have to trust their honesty. I don't think he did, Peter.
Well, when it goes out, we can listen to it and we can find out.
Clement, 47 seconds. Hoary jokes starting now.
A hoary joke is not necessarily a humorous anecdote concerning a hooker. It can also be a fairly old-fashioned, well-used, oft-repeated...
Maureen Lipman challenge.
A little touch of hesitation there, I thought.
A little touch of hesitation. As I was... He was a bit mean with you before. I'm going to be generous to you now, Maureen, and say, yes... You have 36 seconds to tell us something about hoary jokes starting now.
Yeah, hoary jokes are the sort of jokes that music hall comedians tell, working club people tell, and it's always things like, my dad used to breed ferrets until he found out they could breed them for themselves. Repetition of the word breed.
Paul Merton challenge.
I challenge me.
Maureen beat me to it.
Yes.
Repetition of breed.
That's right, Paul. Correct challenge, another point. Hoary jokes is with you, and there are 21 seconds available starting now.
A man goes into a restaurant and he orders a bowl of soup. The waiter comes over with the aforementioned item and he's got his thumb stuck in the hot liquid. And the customer says, why have you got your other digit apart from your finger stuck in what I ordered earlier? A lot of comedy does depend on repetition.
Clement, you challenge.
Repetition of stuck.
Stuck, yes. As he was stuck on the trying to find another word, yes. Well done. Well tried, Paul. We enjoyed it. 6 seconds are available for you, Clement. Hoary joke starting now.
Who was that lady I saw you with last night? That was a female of a quite different kind.
Clement Freud speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so at the end of the round. He's increased his lead over the other three. Paul, would you like to take the second round? Silhouette. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
The silhouettes were, of course, invented by Monsieur Silhouette in Paris in 1746. He was the first gentleman to realise that if you got a piece of card, looked at the side of somebody's face and just cut round the line on the piece of stiff paper in your hand...
Maureen Lipman challenged.
Peace. 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 Didn't you say peace twice?
I wasn't listening, to be honest.
A piece of card. And it was a piece of card and a piece of hard paper.
Was it really?
It was indeed, yes. You were got away with not...
I don't know why I bothered saying hard paper. I might as well said card. Really.
So, Maureen, well, listen. Silhouettes with you, and there are 45 seconds available starting now.
A silhouette is a distinctive outline, a form, a shadow. Now, certain people would be very recognisable. For example, Alfred Hitchcock, who had very small amount of chin beneath his mouth. Or Winston Churchill, who also had a round...
Peter Jones challenged.
He had an enormous amount of chin.
No, it was a receding chin, Peter. It receded.
It's a very difficult thing because there was a lot of chin hanging under his jawline.
This is chin, isn't it?
But jaw. You said underneath his chin. And presumably it was his neckline you were referring
to. That's his wobbly jowls.
I think you're arguing your way out of this very successfully, Maureen, but...
You
haven't played the game as much as ever. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say Silhouette is still with you. Another point, 30 seconds, starting now.
Silhouette is also a form of corset or bra. Many young girls going in for their first appendage which holds things up that are on your chest.
Paul Button challenge.
I've got a feeling she's bluffing. See,
ladies,
I don't know.
Heard of silhouette bras and corsets? Eh, thank you.
There you are. So, Maureen, you win that one. 19 seconds to continue on silhouette starting now.
Corsets, of course, are not worn.
Poor challenge.
Repetition of corsets?
That's right. You talked about corsets before, Maureen.
Oh, right.
Yes. Okay. Paul, you've got in on silhouette. And there are 16 seconds starting now. Tom has got in.
Got nothing more to say about it.
Right.
Hesitation.
I think that was hesitation, yes. I would agree. Clement, another point, and Silhouette, and 14 seconds starting now.
Silhouette and guillotine were two of the most famous 18th century French noblemen, rather like Sorny Lumiere, who came a couple of hundred years later. And if you went to Paris, especially around the...
So, at the end of that round, Clement Freud's still in the lead, but Maureen Lipman is catching him up. She's only 2 points behind, and then following Paul Merton and Peter Jones in that order. Maureen Lipman, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Lush. Tell you something about that in this game, starting now.
Lush can have several meanings. It could be tropical forests of the Amazons, where you see nobody but film crews and luxuriant palms. It could also be music of the type that Richard Clayderman, say, or Liberace, with lots of strings, although he only had a piano, you'll remember. But Mantovani, for example, all that over-the-top...
Oh, you were going so well. Right, but Paul got in first... 36 seconds are available for Lush with you, Paul, starting now.
An American footballer's once asked, what do you prefer to play on? Is it AstroTurf or grass? He says, well, I've never smoked AstroTurf. You've got to repeat it, you see. That's the trouble with these things. But no...
Clement challenged.
Repetition of AstroTurf. Yeah.
All my anecdotes depend on repetition.
Yeah, as you said earlier on, most humour
does. As I said earlier on, even saying it's a repetition.
Right, Clement got in first, 24 seconds. Lush, Clement, starting now.
A very good game for two Lushes to play is for each of them to come into a room bearing a bottle of whiskey. And when they have finished their drink, one goes out and knocks on the door, and the other one has to guess who it is.
Paul, you challenged.
A repetition of one.
Yes, there was too many ones there. But again, he had to repeat it in order to get the joke. But we got the joke in, and we got the laugh, but you've lost the subject, Clement. And it's 9 seconds available for Paul on Lush, starting now.
It is an old-fashioned term, I suppose, for a drunk, somebody who can't really handle their alcoholic consumption. I, myself, have been uniquely blessed by the Almighty, and I can put it away...
So Paul got a number of points in that round, including one for speaking as a whistle went. He's moved forward. He's equal with Maureen Lipman. They're still trailing Clement Freud, our leader, and Peter Jones is just behind the other three. Clement, your turn to begin. Doric columns. Tell us something about that architectural subject in this game, starting now.
In the army, you march in Doric columns. Left, right, 1, 2, A, B. The sergeant shouts, and one foot goes before the other.
And Peter challenged.
Repetition of one.
That's right, 1, 2, and 1 foot. Well, listen, Peter. You've got 48 seconds. Tell us about Doric columns, starting now.
Well, in ancient Greece, there was a group of people called Dorians. And one of them invented this column. Is that all right?
Okay.
What are they doing?
Keep going.
It's very strong and very straight. And it's given its name to this style of architecture, Doric.
Paul challenged.
Repetition of AstroTurf.
You're challenging yourself from the previous subject, obviously, Paul. Paul, no, I don't think he did mention AstroTurf. I listened very carefully, and so, Peter, you have another point, and you have 24 seconds to continue on Doric columns starting now.
Frankly, there's really nothing more to say about that. And it seems to me rather boring to rabbit on when there's nothing to say.
Paul, challenge.
Well, nothing to say, repetition
nothing
of
to
say.
Repetition of nothing to say.
This is an attitude that has hampered me for 32 years.
I don't know, the strong, silent type often gain a lot of success. Peter, you were challenged. And 14 seconds are available for you, Paul, on Doric columns, starting now.
Perhaps the most famous racing tipster of the 1930s was Doric, who wrote for the Sport in Life. And his columns were avidly read by followers of the turf. They wanted to know who he thought was going to win the free 30 at Chepstow, and quite often he was completely wrong.
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle, went gained that extra point. He's now only 1 point behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And Paul, your turn to begin. Fawcett, will you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
Well, it's an Americanism, one of those words that's actually longer than the thing it replaces. Farrer Tap Majors doesn't have the same ring about it, really, as, oh, Farrer Fawcett Majors.
So, Maureen, you got in first, and we know why, so we'll say you have...
How stupid can you be to repeat Farrer Fawcett Majors? A name I previously have never uttered out loud.
Three names you've never uttered out loud.
46 seconds are available for Fawcett, with you, Maureen, starting now.
Fawcett, I would imagine, is from the French word, and it actually has other words that mean the same thing. Things like stopcock and half-cock and ball and cock and other sorts of things that you Okay. Did I mention a word more than once? What was it?
Yes. Do you want to say what your challenge
was?
Well,
there was a lot of cock as far as I know.
There was. So you repeated cock. I don't know why, but... 36 seconds are available for you, Paul, on Fawcett, starting now.
The Americans call...
Clement challenged.
We've already had the Americans.
No, we had Americanism before.
You had Americanism before.
Ah.
Yes. So, an incorrect challenge. Another point to Paul. And Fawcett still with you in 34 seconds, starting now.
She was a wonderful actress. Who can forget her part in Charlie's Angels, where she was superb. Any excuse for the three of them to walk around in bathing costumes, and that was what was considered a very popular show in the 1970s. It was based on the conceit that a man called Charles employed these people, winged messengers from God, if you prefer, to investigate various things.
Maureen challenged.
Can you get him on deviation for that?
I think you can. He's got way far from Fawcett.
Way
he was
a long
on
way.
About Charlie's Angels, and I know Farrah Fawcett Major was in them, but you didn't even mention her name again.
Well,
but
I couldn't.
I know.
I was
that is the agony of just a minute.
Know.
And Maureen's got in, deviation, 10 seconds available. Force it with you, Maureen, starting now.
No, the agony of just a minute is trying to think of anything else to say about a word like faucet. It is a sort of valve, and I guess that it stops the water from dribbling through any known kind of tap. If you
So, Maureen Lipman was saying, speaking as a whistle wing, gained that extra point for doing so, and with the other points gained in the round, we have an interesting situation for those who are interested in points. It is that Paul Merton, Clement Freud and Maureen Lipman are equal together in the lead, followed by Peter Jones. And, Peter, it is wrong. Well, you, with this next one, the next subject, the trick. And if you've got the trick of just a minute, you could leap forward and overhaul them.
Right.
And that's the subject, Peter. And 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
Well, I've heard it applied to the art of acting, when one has been told that sincerity is the great thing to aim for. And if you can be sincere, then you're away with any... You can get away with practically anything.
Paul, challenge.
Sort of hesitation.
A sort of hesitation, yes. I more than a sort of, but it was a hesitation, Paul. You have the point, you have the trick, and you have 46 seconds starting now.
I don't know if there's anybody here that can explain to me what the Indian rope trick's all about, because you read...
Clement Freud.
I can.
I thought... Clement, we give you a bonus point because we like the challenge, but it's not within the rules of just a minute. So Paul gets a point because he was interrupted. He keeps the subject, the trick, 39 seconds, starting now.
Nevertheless, if Clement knows how this particular trick is done, he's more than welcome to buzz now if I repeat Indian rope trick and I'll hear the explanation.
So he did buzz and cue. They're playing together on this one, aren't they? Instead of against each other. 32 seconds.
Repetition of Indian rope trick.
Yes, I know. Yes, I did.
Makes a change from Faber Fawcett Majors.
I did actually spot that one, Clement. And you have the subject, 32 seconds, the trick, starting now.
The reason why there's so few conjurers on radio is because, as a medium, it doesn't lend itself...
Paul challenged.
Deviation is not explaining the Indian rope trick.
Well, it was only at your invitation, it wasn't anybody else's.
Well, Clement accepted the invitation, I expect an explanation of an Indian rope trick. It's some nonsense about conjurers on the radio. I could have said that.
He's and chucked forming in front of... this splinter group. And it's nothing to do with just a minute, is it?
No, it is, actually, because...
I see it.
Handed it on the plate to him because he's anyone in the rope trick. Within the rules of just a minute, he didn't deviate, hesitate, or repeat himself, so he can go in any direction he likes. He might even be leading to the Indian rope trick, I don't know. I'm sorry, Paul. I like to challenge anyway. You can have a bonus point as well for that. But Clement gets a point for being interrupted. He keeps the subject, the trick, and there are 25 seconds left starting now.
If you look very carefully into my left hand, you will see something completely different to what I am holding in the right. And that is the sort of trick which, on radio, doesn't get huge support.
More challenged.
Repetition of radio.
Yes, you did mention radio
before.
I think
they've never tried it, you know.
Well, they have done that sort of thing on radio where somebody's in a submarine and they have to guess what they're holding in that submarine years ago. those two things. Someone was in the studio and her husband was in the submarine.
Was it called Guess What I've Got in My Hands?
That's right.
I remember that show.
What was that famous show of the 50s?
The Coronation.
They were Australians. So that's a little memorabilia for our audience here. Paul, a correct challenge, radio, and you have 9 seconds left. The trick starting now.
I said to Farrah Fawcett Majors, how'd you get your lawn looking so beautiful? She said, it's not grass, it's astroturf. That's the trick.
So Paul Merton, speaking as a whistle wing, gained that extra point. He's now only 1 point ahead of Clement Freud, just followed behind by Maureen Lipman. A little way further back is Peter Jones. So we're moving into the final round, a very exciting situation, and we have the final subject. Maureen Lipman, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Money for Old Rope. Can you tell us something about that phrase in this game, starting now?
Money for old rope is what B players like our good selves get for coming on a show like Just a Minute. Ably. Oh, God.
Paul, you challenged.
The Ably triplets.
The Ably triplets. Yes, Ball, another point to you, 49 seconds. Money for old rope starting now.
I used to run a business where, in fact, I charged money for old rope. What I would do is I'd go down to the old rope factory and I'd say to the people there, have you got any old rope you don't want? And they said, well, there's some old rope in the corner. So I'd pick up the old rope and I would, for money, sell it to my various customers. I don't know what they did with these particular pieces of rope. Sometimes when I take on a new member of staff, I'd say, let me show you the ropes. I take them out into the backyard and I say, there's the old rope in the corner there. Now, if anybody comes in to my premises wanting to purchase such a item as the old rope there, you'll know where it is. And they said, thank you very much. And I retired about 3 years ago on the proceeds from all the old rope I sold. I sold a lot of it, actually, the radio too.
Clement Chappell. For the odd person who may never heard of Just a Minute before, you are allowed to repeat the subject on the card.
I don't think it's...
I can't wait till Farrah Fawcett Majors is a subject.
Yes, that's right, yes. I don't think they should have repeated quite as much as that, but still, he got away with it entertainingly, and there are 5 seconds, Clement, starting now.
Money for old rope is money which you get for old rope.
Maureen Challenge, just before the whistle. Yes, Maureen.
Repetition of the word for.
Four. No, it's on the card. Money for old rope.
So sorry.
You can
sorry.
Repeat the words on the card okay, as a sorry, sentence sir. Or individually, Maureen. Very sorry about that. It's going to make a very interesting final situation because Clement's got another point, and the subject's money for old rope, and there's half a second to go starting now.
Money for old rope.
Clement Boyd was then speaking as the whistle went, and so now I have to give you the final score for those interested in the points. Peter Jones got a few. He gave us his usual wonderful value, but he didn't gain many points. Maureen Lipman, who has only played the game twice before, came back, got a large number of points, finished in third place, but just ahead of Maureen, equal together, very justifiably, because their contribution is utterly equal, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, so we say they are the joint winners of this week. Thank you. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four excellent and delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Maureen Lipman, Clement Freud and Peter Jones. Also thank Sarah Wade, who has been helping with the score and the stopwatch and blowing her whistle so elegantly. We thank Ian Messiter, who has created the game, our producer, Chris Neal, for producing and directing it so efficiently. And from all of them, we hope you've enjoyed it here in the Radio Theatre in Broadcasting House. And from me, Nicholas Parsons, and all of us up here, goodbye. Thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, goodbye. Yes.